Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Dr. Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. The pick is in for Luke's brothers. They're on the Bucks tonight, -3.5. More on that later this hour. Chris Johnston will join us here in just a moment. We got a Raptors game tonight. Raptors are 9-2 at home, so that probably explains why they're a slight favorite tonight. But the Celtics, I think, are 8-3 on the road. So something's got to give. And Boston was in Brooklyn last night. They laid a beating on the Nets. So back-to-back for Boston. Bit of travel. See what comes of it tonight. Yeah, the Leafs are back in action in Dallas tomorrow. Looks like we're going to see some debuts tomorrow as well, right? Connor Timmins is going to likely debut on defense, and SGA.
Yeah, which, we're not – I don't even know. Where do we start with this guy? No, just SGA.
Yes.
We're just going to chew this guy's name apart. And, you know, this is where, selfishly, I don't know how you guys feel, but as a color analyst – you hope that the guy doesn't touch the puck the whole game, where you've got to mention his name in a highlight or a big play.
SDA. Yes.
What did I say? GA? Sorry, SVA.
So, SDA. We got to get acronym down at a minimum. I mean, it's one thing. Semyon Dergachinsev is his name. Yeah. And he played in Peterborough. I think he was up there with Nick Robertson. It's just one of those things. You look at the Leafs roster. Like 1 through 12, their second power play, their defense. You're like, who are these guys? Like, if you've been a Leaf fan that's been touring the world and not paying attention to anything, and you just landed back in Toronto, you look at their lineup and say, what the hell is happening? Like, what is going on here? Who are these guys? Like, where's Riley? Where's Brody? You know, it's a makeshift lineup, but it's working for them.
Well, yeah, exactly, because of their big four. And Marner, Tavares has been consistent, so has Nylander. I mean, Matthews has another level. I think it's just a matter of time where he heats up, but it's just those four drive it every night, and then there's a little supporting cast here or there. But Semyon Dergachinsev, what is his name?
You're just not even close.
I'm not even going to try. Dude, it's Billy Stamovolitsky. There used to be a show, I think, in the 80s or early 90s. John Candy was on it, and he was a hockey player named Billy Stamovolitsky. That's what this guy is. Semyon Stamovolitsky. That's what I'm going to call him, because his name bar went from his left shoulder all the way down his right arm. And that's basically what's going to happen tomorrow night.
Yeah, but that's going to be tomorrow night. He's likely making his debut.
Hey, I'm telling you, the coaches, I'd love to get into a coach's head, because when you got this makeshift lineup and they're playing the way you want, you don't want to go away from it, man, and you don't care who's out of it. Like, that's a pretty good stretch that this so-called makeshift lineup and decor have put together. And if you're the coach, your worry is talented guys are going to come back and they're going to take their foot off the gas and not play the same way. I think coaches think like that, man.
Well, I do think it's easier for a coach to get their message across to a player who's, you know, dying to stay in the lineup, knows that they could be in the American Hockey League at any point. But it's also much more likely to get your game plan activated to the heights you want it to with the best players, right? So it's obviously a give and take there. Like, Brody's going to return probably when they come home against the Kings later this week. If not, I would think by the weekend he's back. Morgan Riley, the same thing in just over a month. Like, those guys are coming back. Obviously, they'll be activated. Obviously, they're going to play. It's on them, though, to pick up where the rest of the team is left off. And to buy into this system of play that has been very effective and something we've been crying for, screaming about for a decade. Like, it felt like forever. How many coaches came in here? It was the same story. They'd get outshot. They'd get outproduced. They'd be, you know, dog park defense we used to talk about all the time. And Keith has activated a plan here that the players have picked up on, and it's been very impressive. Because for you to be without Brody – and without Riley and without Muzzin for this long, and to really not lose much sleep. Like, they're going into Dallas tomorrow, a potent team who's playing really well. I fully expect they compete.
Absolutely.
I fully expect they show up. Like, I don't expect them to get their doors blown off. In fact, I don't remember the last time that happened on the scoreboard or just simply by play where you look at it and said, man, they were awful. They got crushed.
And, dude, that's the best thing about the way they've been playing. They give themselves a chance to win. Sometimes you're going to have a crappy goal like that Killorn goal in overtime that beat you, but they can look each other in the eye in the locker room and say, we gave ourselves a chance to win. Silly penalty, bad goal here, but that's things we can move on from.
Right.
Because that other nonsense we saw out west earlier, we were like, how are they ever going to recover from this? And they've done it.
Yeah. Well, that's probably the last time was in Vegas. They got dummied in Vegas. And, that doesn't mean they played great in California, but those teams are so bad, maybe L.A. notwithstanding, it wasn't going to be like a bloodbath at the hands of those teams. But that's well over a month ago.
Yeah, they played good hockey. It's the guys in the bottom of the roster, they know they're fighting for their lives. They know they're fighting to stay in the lineup. So you're right. Their attention to detail should be rock solid. They're not, you're not making hope passes and curl and drags. And I saw your tweet on the weekend there, Kerfoot
again, a stupid penalty in that building. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But, I mean, those are small plays that either come back to bite you or, he's a guy that has struggled. I think Kerfoot's game, we've just seen a lot better of him, especially last year. But the other guys in the lineup, they have to play with precision when it comes to systematic play because that's what they're there for. The Reese's and the Holmbergs and guys like that. Kampf, who's a good two-way player.
They've been predictable, right?
Yeah.
Like those guys have given you exactly what you would expect them to give.
I like that kid, Holmberg.
He seems all right.
Sheldon Keefe seems to love him. Like, says he can't find mistakes on the tape. Which, I mean, you don't hear a coach say that too often about a young player.
I'm not in love with him, but I like him.
Well, he's a fourth-line plug-and-play guy.
Yeah.
He's done his job. He's been pretty good. Here's Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. CJ, how often do you get stopped on the street and people asking you, like, who is this guy? Who is that guy? Like, it's a makeshift lineup every single night, yet it seems to be working for Sheldon Keefe and the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of that. I mean, certainly, as you guys all know from your time around the city, people always want to talk about the team, and nobody ever thinks it's in a great spot, even when they won as many games as they have over this last little stretch. But, it's I think, a benefit to the organization that they have some plug-and-play guys, as you call them, and those that come up. And, I think it's also good for the program if you have players like SDA, who's going to make his, NHL debut tomorrow. Players that have been drafted and been Marlies for a few years and at least get a taste of the NHL action, even Mac Hollowell there when the injuries hit on the blue line. I think that's a nice little carrot for everyone who's down there in the American Hockey League and has been part of the organization for a few years.
We were talking about this earlier, CJ. It sure feels like we know where this is going, and it's likely Toronto-Tampa in the first round. Do you get the same inclination, like that's where we're heading in 3 or 4 months?
It definitely feels that way. It might be a little soon to call it, not because I see that many holes in the Bruins game, but, I just wonder how long they can keep at the pace they've been going. I mean, a pretty crazy start to the season that they've had. All things considered, it's going to be tough to even make up a few points in the standings against a team like that, even with a couple months still to play. And so, I guess we might get some kind of surprise, but, it does feel as though Florida's falling back and just sort of seems like the stars are aligning for another Toronto-Tampa. And, quite frankly, after watching it for 7 games last spring and the game they played on Saturday night, personally, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
CJ, Mitch Marner got it done, and he's got the point streak. And it seems like in some of his conversations, talking about his dog who loves him no matter what, there's this kind of edge to him about something. Is that like towards the media when they were losing, or I don't know what that is. Is that just something like Michael Jordan that he puts it in his mind to drive him? Do you get that sense or no?
Yeah, and I would say I've sensed that at times over the last few seasons. Like, I don't know that that's just a this year kind of thing. I mean, look, he had a pretty rough time, I think, personally, when he went through that contract negotiation. Obviously ended up with a fantastic deal, but, we discussed it and beat it around and, on the radio, and everywhere else in media circles and fan circles for 8 months, and I think that was difficult for him. I think, quite frankly, it's probably tough to be a 12-year, you know, 12-month-a-year guy that lives in the city or, you know, up in Muskoka, what have you, in the summertime, but, you know, never really gets away from it, and you know, is the subject of a lot of discussion. I mean, the one thing I would say, and I've never lived in public the way that he has to, is, you know, I don't see all that much criticism of him, to be honest. I mean, it might come here and there if there's a little dry spell, but for the most part, I think, you know, he's been celebrated pretty well, and you know, we're talking about one of the top players in the league, and he's compensated that way. He gets ice time in that manner. But, you know, look, life is difficult in the spotlight. You know, another thing I remember Mitch saying a few years ago was, you know, kind of how he had to detach from social media, and I think that's a new reality of the world that wasn't even around, of course, so even when you were in the NHL, and I think for some of these young guys, it can be tough to just be constantly getting barraged with whatever nonsense is out there, because we all know there's a lot out there for every player.
I know, we had our own thoughts about the contract. I think my words were, if you don't want to take what they're offering you, then play somewhere else. But everybody loves the guy. We love the way he plays. We love everything he brings to the table. I don't think there's any...
That's where it spawns from, though. I mean, that was an acrimonious contract negotiation for a local guy. There were reports, you know, fans were yelling at, like, people yelling on him on the street. You know, when he's in Wonderland, he's golfing. It's like, that weighs heavy on you. Now, he made the decision to go through it the way he went through it. I said at the time, I'll say it forever, I think he did himself damage that was unnecessary. I think he could have played that PR game so much better. Signed on July 1, taken 6 years, 10.5, and you'd be a hero. He didn't do that. That's his choice, and he had to pay the consequences for it. But I don't think he's ever overcome that, because I don't think – because they keep stubbing their toe in the playoffs, it's like it just keeps circling back up, you know? And I think that's the crux of it, CJ. That's my read on it anyway. And it's – I don't know if there's a self-esteem issue there, if he feels like the fans aren't on his, you know, bandwagon or whatever, but
everybody loves him, Brian.
I'm with you in terms of in the moment, watching him play every night. The guy's an absolute stud. He's incredible.
Let me chime in quickly, though. Everyone loves him, but think of the vitriol, and Brian, you just pointed it out, that those players went through from the fan base after Game 7.
Here's an example for you. Everybody loves him. But there's some dirtball out there who wants to fake put his name on a tee sheet at a golf course and post it out there, and it goes viral, so people think he's golfing the morning after the playoffs are over. So that's basically the two ends of it. They'll jump up and they'll scream at the top of their lungs when he scores a goal. But some jerk will do that and make it a scene. So I guess that's the two ends of it, CJ.
Well, for sure. And, you know, it's amazing because the way I look at it, I mean, he's probably the most popular Maple Leaf, especially among young fans. I mean, there's sort of a childlike wonder about Mitch. And you know, when you know, quite often when I'm down there at the morning skate, there's guests or people that have gotten in the building. I mean, kids go bananas just seeing him on the ice. I mean, I think he – look, time might take care of all this, right? If this team has a playoff run, and I know that's an if, I mean, he'll probably – get into legendary status. I mean, I remember when I was a kid and, you know, Doug Gilmore teams had a couple playoff runs. I mean, that's something that Doug's remembered for fans of a certain age forever. You know, I think Mitch has that opportunity and, you know, I hope it goes that way for him, you know, that he finds whatever pieces out there, because, you know, I do sympathize to a degree with, you know, whatever he's feeling. He must, you know, he really believes it. I thought you're right to bring up that comment. Oh, Doug, you know, I saw when I read that about his dog, I mean, it, you know, kind of makes you sad for the guy, because on paper you'd think it's the perfect life. He's a hometown kid and he's had all kinds of success, probably more than he could ever imagine, you know, when he was a young guy and he gets to be close to family and all that. But there's another side to the coin that you know, it's not all a fairy tale, right? It's his real life and there's a lot of challenges built in there.
Well, and you make a good point about never escaping it. I'm wondering how that applies to Matthews. Where Austin, you know, I think within a few days of the season ending, he's on a bird. He's out of here. And my understanding, the last couple of summers, and I don't blame him for this, largely because of COVID and all the restrictions up here, it was like he didn't come back. You know, and if he did, it was kind of in and out. I think that's a positive. Like, if you're the Leafs, like, no one's more in the spotlight than him for 7 months, 8 months. Get the hell out.
That's right. It's just a play. It's their home. It's where they play. But it's almost like some guys playing football in different sports, they bring their boat up to that city and stay on it. They rent the hotel. That's just where they play. You know what I mean? They're gone.
Yeah.
Right. And I think with Austin, it's a different personality, too. I mean, I just think in general, I don't think he cares what any of us have to say. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I actually think it's a positive. I'd actually put William Nylander, for example, in the same kind of boat. I don't think that William really gets too stung by the criticism that he's received over the years. I think he just goes and does his thing. He believes in himself. He kind of has some swagger and maybe doesn't, has a way to shield himself from it. But look, we're all different. I can be too sensitive to stuff too. I see stuff on Twitter that can put me in a mood. So, I'm not throwing arrows at any of these guys that maybe do take it more, but I think you're right. I mean, Austin just, he has that swagger. I really don't think he would mind anything that was ever said about him. I don't think he'd ever really have an issue with it. He understands it comes with the job, and you're right. He compartmentalizes things. He's got a ways to get away, and I think a part of that is not spending his whole year here in Toronto and, doing other things when the Leafs aren't playing games.
Yep, I think that goes a long way with Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. We were talking about Vancouver earlier and trying to get a read on their situation. I guess we'll pose a question to you, CJ. Now that Besser could be available via trade, they've got a lot of commitments, like big money commitments to players that it seems like they're uncertain on whether or not they really like them or want them to be there, yet they're committed. So, like, if you look into the future, what is Vancouver in 3 years? Are they taking steps backwards? Do they feel like they're cup competitive? Because I kind of sense they'll be in the same spot.
Who's on the roster that's on it now in 3 years?
Yeah. Go ahead, yeah. CJ. How do you see it playing out?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I think they're going backwards myself. One of the things that it struck, seemed to me is since new management came in, I think it was almost a year to the day, actually, that they cleaned house there and fired Travis Green and Jim Benning, brought in, Jim Rutherford and, eventually some further changes to the front office, is that at that point in time, they did want to clear out some of the cap troubles they had, and they haven't really been able to move their players and do that in a manner that satisfied them. I still think that there's a chance for that to come. Although, one thing I'd note in this Besser story is, usually when you hear of an agent being given permission to talk to other teams to help facilitate a trade, that's because the GM or the front office has been unable to find a trade that makes sense for them. And so you're almost, putting some onus on the player's camp to find something to make it work, to come up with some ideas because the GMs themselves haven't been able to do it. And so not to say that Brock Besser won't be moved, but, he carries pretty high cap hit for a player that's only scored a couple goals this year and, has kind of struggled the last few years between injuries and some stuff he's had to deal with in his personal life. I think it's been a tough go there for Besser. But I just don't see a way around them getting close to some kind of rebuild. I know they've always completely resisted that. They never really bottomed out. It might come to them even not by their own choosing at some point in time here because, they've got Bo Horvat having a great individual year, but he's a UFA. Besser wants out. They signed Pettersson to a short-term deal. We'll see what happens when he gets to the end of that. I mean, he's one of the players that's had a really strong start to this year. I see a lot of turnover coming. I don't think that the status quo is going to work in the marketplace. So you see a lot of fans pretty up in arms there, and so change will be the name of the game. I just don't know how long they're going to have to wait to start shipping some of those big contracts out.
That's where I'm at. Change, we always talk about that American Thanksgiving. It's come and gone, and we see some teams that still have to make some, we'll call it big decisions, including the Canucks. When do you think some of these are coming? I mean, it seems like Vancouver was kind of close to doing something, and then they get a couple wins, and it's quieted down. Ottawa, same thing, couple wins, and things are a little bit quieter. Like, when do you anticipate maybe a shoe dropping on some of the names that have been thrown out there?
I think you're probably into early January before that happens. I mean, for whatever reason, just the way things have lined up this year, that's kind of how it's gone. For example, John Klingberg signs a one-year deal in Anaheim. It included a no-trade or no-movement clause until January 1st. But as of that point, the Ducks are free to trade him anywhere. You know, I know the way that the Chicago were wanted to deal with their situation with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews was basically play the first, you know, whatever, 30, 40 games, and then once we get to January, we'll have a discussion about, you know, how you want this to go, where you might want to go, and so that's kind of been on hold. You know, what I think you're alluding to a little bit there, Noodles, is just some stuff that's more performance-related from the teams. Is anyone going to feel enough heat to pull a trigger? But it just doesn't seem like there's that many. It doesn't seem like there's enough going on in the marketplace for that sort of thing to happen. So, you know, roughly mid-December, I don't know the exact date this year, the holiday roster freeze kicks in, so we're not really too far off of that. And so I would say January will probably be much busier than what we've seen so far this year. I mean, we haven't seen a coach fired, and there's really only been a couple of minor trades to this point.
Yeah, no kidding. How about Darth Vladar getting the start tonight in Calgary against Arizona? Like, wouldn't this be a game where you might want to mix in Markstrom? Seems like a lock win. Maybe that's the issue, and maybe Sutter's not wired that way.
I think the way the world, Hayes, is just they give these guys two. I mean, Jamie can obviously chime in on it. They give them 2 weeks to get themselves right. I don't know what it is. Like, they need the time. That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
Or he'd be in the net.
Like, I just figured tonight's like, put Markstrom in, get him going, give him Arizona. It doesn't sound like it's happening. I think Vladar's going.
And the other thing I'll chime in before you get to CJ is, you know, Vladar, he's not a space filler. They think he has a chance to be a one in this league. So
right.
it's you know, I know you got Markstrom on term. Up the road, you've got Campbell on term. Demko, the injury, but he wasn't playing very well. Basically, all three backups were playing well in those Western cities. You're trying to get wins. Right now, Vladar's played well. Markstrom came out the other day. I agree. There might be a reset situation with the goalie coach going, hey, just give him a week. Let's see how, get working on some fundamentals.
Yeah.
Feel good about yourself, and we'll find you a start in 5 days. Like that's what I would be looking at if the other guy is playing well. And right now, the other guy's playing well, and that's Darth Vladar.
Darth Vladar.
What makes it more of a story, though, is the fact they do view him as having number one potential because you know, this isn't just, okay, we're letting someone else start a couple games against games we should win. I mean, if he keeps holding the net and playing well, you might legitimately have yourself a bit of a goalie controversy or debate on your hands with your established guy. And I suppose that's, for the team, that's a good place to be in because it means at least one of your players is performing at a level you're comfortable with. But it would seem that that's where things are going in Calgary. I think this is a fourth or fifth start the last 2 weeks for Vladar, so he's had a pretty good run here, and with Markstrom saying there last week that he sucks right now, and you know, Vladar still getting these run of games, you know, I guess there's a reset opportunity, but if he keeps playing well, I mean, Markstrom might be getting used to backing up a little more than he's used to in recent years.
That'd be a wild story, and up the road, I think Stuart Skinner is getting the start tonight as well.
He's playing tonight, yep.
They have no choice, though. I mean,
yeah, you can't play Campbell.
I mean, Campbell's got to get his game in order. That's the thing. Like, the difference
here. What a comment. Like, what a comment. Like,
you can't play him.
Play him.
December 5th. Can't play him. But it's factual. You can't. Like, Washington, again, not very good. They got a bunch of injury problems. And yet, Edmonton,
Darcy
Calgary.
Kemper left last game, too. It's going to be Charlie Lindgren.
Got to play the backup. Got to get a win.
Well, I mean, Skinner is Vladar. Skinner is homegrown, drafted, although Vladar was traded for. But Skinner's 23. They like him. He's a big goalie that has ability. Like, you know, Campbell, that's a tandem situation. Campbell hasn't played well enough. Bottom line is you're trying to get wins every night. Every night. The league is too tight. So I would, if I'm a coach, I go with who gives me the opportunity that night. And that's right now. It's Vladar and it's Skinner in Alberta.
Wow.
My opinion.
Yeah. I think you're right. Clearly the coaches agree. We'll leave it there. CJ, we'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Be well.
Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider, cannot play Jack Campbell right now. We had a bit, spontaneous one a couple of weeks ago, Noodles. You were off.
Uh-huh.
Where we called it something about an ejection, wasn't it? Like it was a shoot deployment or whatever, anything. Anyway, the idea of just completely eradicating the contract, would Ken Holland do it? Like, that doesn't mean make a trade. It means you got the opportunity to completely wash it off the books.
Yes,
it's gone.
We're saying to Ed that if any team had to just say, I get one do-over, and
gone.
Just no penalty.
Doesn't count against the cap. Don't have to trade assets to get rid of it. It's just, it's gone. Do you think Ken Holland on December 5th would use that ejection button on Jack Campbell?
Here's why I would say no. Because who's going to play there? Who's going to, when Stuart Skinner at 23 years old,
I know,
24,
but Noodles, wouldn't you say anything else will be better?
No, that's not true, because take a look at, so Jordan Binnington's playing. Thomas Greiss is the option. And Shesterkin's struggling. It's Yaro Halak who's at near the end. Like, there's not a lot of options out there. Not saying you're
talking. What about the
contract.
Idea of this for five more years?
That's
four
the,
more years.
That's the pitch. I mean, is that you, if he doesn't get it together, you're screwed.
Right. Like, but I would argue at some point his game will probably come back.
Like, can't
he's
be
a good goalie.
Bad.
Exactly.
Can't
so
be
that would
bad.
Be my counter to that is if there was somebody else that was available, like I don't know who, name a name. If Jonathan Quick all of a sudden was available in L.A., he's on an expiring contract, and, hey, you could flush a contract down the toilet, absolutely. But Jonathan Quick's not available because Cal Peterson just got waived. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, it's that would be my only counter to that. I understand what you're saying, but you need a two-goaltender system, because if Stuart Skinner tweaks a groin tonight or doesn't play well,
or turns back into a kid who doesn't,
exactly.
you know, he's still working his way
kid.
Through the league.
Like, that's, I think it's a two-goaltender system throughout the league now, except for how many guys?
Well,
six,
exactly.
Five?
Four or five.
The guy in Winnipeg is Sorokin the Islanders. He's a star.
Yeah, Sorokin looks great. Soros maybe. Hellebuyck. Vasilevsky clearly.
Yeah. Shesterkin. Like, there's like five or six guys now, and the rest are all like, hey, you know, let's tandem it up. So, you know, Markstrom was one of those guys not playing like that. Last year he was a Vezina finalist.
Right.
Like, crazy. Crazy how the league is I still think it's upside down with a lot of things. I don't know how you guys feel. Like, they're just crazy storylines every night. Like, Jason Roberts has got 23 goals.
Yeah. It's crazy.
23 goals. Like,
look at his point streak, where he's got points in 18 straight games. And what does he have, like 36 points or something?
Yeah.
Like, it's something crazy in that run.
Yeah,
it's 34
points. I can't imagine the attention that kid would get if he was in, like, a Canadian market. Like, if he was doing that for Montreal or something, it would be, like...
100%.
Outrageous. 100%. Outrageous.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If he was doing that in Winnipeg, even, or, you know, like you say, Vancouver.
Any
like,
Canadian market.
Know, like, just the noise. I mean, I will say this. We haven't brought up this Brady Tkachuk. Just
he
grabbed his team and put him
else.
On his back on the weekend.
Man, is like, he fun to watch play.
Dude, that guy's he's just a flat-out stud.
He's old school.
Yeah, he is, and he brings it every single game, and he just said to himself and his teammates, I'm tired of the garbage, and let's change our fate here.
It was
guy's
watching
impressive.
Those games, like even Trouba. Trouba's pissed. You can tell the Rangers aren't playing well. I don't know if you saw Trouba fought last night and threw his helmet at the boards and was yelling at the bench and all that. But like that game, watching that Ottawa Ranger game, like Tkachuk and Trouba, that was like a Ginla LeCavalier. Like, those are captains going toe-to-toe at center ice.
Center
like, that
ice.
It was
a good
man,
tilt.
Oh, man. That was a big tilt. Yep.
Yeah, that was a good tilt. Old school move from Nate McMillan down in Atlanta. We'll tell you about that. Trae Young and his crosshairs. Raptors, Celtics tonight. Bucks, Saints tonight as well. Our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Wanted to put a little something out there in behind me. I have some Great Leaf figurines, and there is a Boreas Salming one. If anybody would let me buy it, I would love to put it on one of my shelves. If you got an extra one you could part with, just shoot me a note.
Okay.
I'd Boreas like to Salming. Add it to the shelving.
Yeah. Shout out to Boreas for sure. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, well, listen, we're always, every once in a while, we ask the people for help. If the people are willing to help us out, we
just
appreciate
it. Just like us
that.
On Fridays. We help people, maybe a little payback.
Yeah.
That
would
be nice.
I got a lot of people sending me notes because we forgot to do Dear Hazy B, and there were people pissed.
Really?
Oh, yeah. DMing on Instagram.
Oh, keep them in
Twitter.
The chamber.
Keep
and
them
we
coming.
Will, yeah, we'll this Friday, coming. We will do a bonanza. An
yes,
hour
we will.
Straight, 6 to 7.
Full hour at Dear that. Hazy B. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, we might have to.
Tough.
We might have to. I haven't picked up a golf club in just over a month. I just picked up a wedge for the first time. Not touched a club. Sculled it right into the back of the couch. And it makes me realize how quickly you lose it, man. When you put the clubs away, the
yeah, you
winter
know
months.
You don't even start with me. You know why? Because I'm going to ask you a question right now. I would bet at that rich-ass golf course of yours with all those rich people, they have an indoor facility of some sort that's second to none in the country, and you refuse to go there, don't you? Hang on a sec. Answer the first question.
No,
Do they have one?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm
somebody
aware.
Send me a tweet if Coppenwood Golf and Country Club has an indoor kind of facility for the members
so.
To go and venture.
I don't think I'd go anyway at this point. I will at some point in the new year show my face.
Doesn't Golf Town has stuff like that?
Yeah,
don't you roll
exactly.
in your buddy? You get buddies with everybody at Golf Town.
A lot of different places. A lot like right? the Sports Dome. We just heard the spot. That's what got me thinking. I'm like, I got to get out there and work on my game and. You know, it's because I was watching Victor Hovland, and, man, he can play. He loves that course down. And how about Tiger just cruising around on a cart all weekend? He's got his
different
kid on the
looking
back.
Looking golf cart.
Yeah, something's going on there with Tiger. I don't know. But he'll be playing this weekend, I guess, in the match. He's playing on Friday. And then the weekend after that is the PNC, which is the fifth major, when him and Charlie and the whole NBC Golf Channel crew get down to Orlando.
They got to get Brandel Chamblee down to Florida for that one.
Yep, they sure do. We were discussing and wondering if Cristiano Ronaldo would accept that deal from the Saudi team. I'm still not convinced it's going to happen.
Dude, he accepted it.
Well, those are the reports. But I've seen different reports saying he hasn't done that because he's at the World Cup and his mind is on the World Cup. Guy's a mess for Portugal. You see, he got subbed off his last game. He was complaining about it. The manager came out and ripped him. He's such a baby. Like, he's such an unlikable guy. And this, I guess he just doesn't care. And listen, for $200 million per year, maybe nobody would care because it sounds like he could accept that deal. 2.5 years to go play for a Saudi team that no one's heard of before in a league with a bunch of schlubs, but he'll be making $200 million per.
Would you do it? Of course you would.
$200 million per.
But he's got like $2 billion in the bank. Doesn't
I don't
he?
Know. Is he a billionaire? Is he
I
a,
think he's oh, close.
I
think he's like Tiger. He's like the Tiger of soccer.
No, I know. Like I say, like a lot of times Forbes will put out a list, right? I believe Ronaldo's there, Messi's there,
Noodles,
Tiger's
the guy
there.
Gets $1 million for one Instagram post.
He's got the most Instagram followers on the gram.
Right. But a lot of times it's not how much you make, it's how much you save. Like the guy may have made $1 billion, but he might have pissed it away. Who knows?
True.
Like Mayweather, what's that guy worth? Because, I mean, he's made a load of money. This guy gambles left and right.
I thought I read over the weekend Mayweather wants to buy an NBA team outright. Thought I read that he's kicking tires on that. Like, again, I don't know how, like, that would suggest he's got billions. And I don't think he's got billions.
No.
I don't believe that for a second. And he doesn't fight really anymore. If he does, it's like a celebrity fight. He's probably still making 20, 30, 40 million. Right. But he's not endorsing anything. Like, no one wants Floyd Mayweather as their endorser. Like, no one's attaching their name to Floyd Mayweather.
Right.
Unless he fights.
I mean, that's the biggest thing is, you know, Ryan Reynolds is rich, but he even admitted, like, I need to be in
not
an
even
investment
close.
Group, right?
Right?
Like, that's the thing. Like, some of these guys would have to be in. Mayweather would have to be in on an investment group.
Yes.
Even LeBron would have to be in on an investment group if he wanted a team in Vegas, correct?
I would think Jordan? That team's going for $3 or $4 billion
exactly.
in Vegas. And LeBron does not. Now, he can get loans, clearly,
yes.
and he's got a lot of money. But to your point, does he own 20% of the team? I don't think he's got enough to own it 100% outright.
The guys who have that type of money is Ballmer.
Yes.
It's Musk. It's all of those guys. What's a Bezos? Like, those guys, they throw billions for nothing.
They got $200 billion.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
A billion. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's where it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, if Ronaldo takes that deal, $200 million, like that's it's
that's
ridiculous.
A lot of money, man. Now you're never going to see him play, but maybe he doesn't care anyway. And what does it say about MLS? Like a lot of people waiting for him to come over here. Like it sounds like Messi's going to do is go play in Miami, get paid a fortune. That could happen as early as next summer. But for Ronaldo, I don't know. I referenced this Trey Young, Nate McMillan story. This is old school versus new school, where on Friday, Trey Young chose not to play in the game against the Nuggets. After an exchange with Nate McMillan during shoot-around, McMillan reportedly disagreed with Young's shoulder rehab approach and gave him the option to either play off the bench or don't show up at all. He decided not to show up, which I think is a horrible look for Trey Young. But what I think is common to the NBA, because McMillan's a player, former player, now coach, old school. He probably looks at these young guys and it sickens them.
No kidding.
How much they're like, yeah. I can't go, I'm not going to play, can't do this. And he's. I bet it screams to me that this is an old school dude looking at him saying, I can't look at you anymore. I can't have it. And that's their best player. Like Trae Young's a superstar. Yeah. And I could see this coming in the NBA. Something's going to give, or some old school guys are going to step in and say, I can't look at you anymore rehabbing. I can't have you not playing back-to-backs. I can't have you.
Hey, look at the guy in the middle. He was an old school goaltender who fought his ass off to fight and stay in the league every day, every year. And there are goalies on garbage teams, and I'm not going to mention names this time around, but it's happened really frequently. 5-0 goal. Oh, I'm out. Skate off. Done. Done for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. They just skate off.
Well, I mean,
it's outrageous.
It's a different eras, different thought process, different everything. I'll be honest, Hayes, the young guy's going to win because the
Probably.
Old guy, the old mentality, a lot of people are trying, which is, you know, through education, through sports science, everything.
But how are they getting away with it, Noodle? Some of these guys, you look at MRIs, and it's a fact that some people are looking at MRIs and they're like, hey, man, we don't even know what's on this MRI that you're complaining about. And they're just like, well, it's got to get better. It's insane. Yeah, it is insane.
It's a different thought process. It's a different mentality. And what honest to God, like it is. So the old saying of, you know, you want somebody to feel 110% before they come back. That is the mentality. That's the mindset. Not only just physical, mentally, so that they're able to function at a high level. And to me, that is the new school, the progressive school. Whether you like it or not, it's like you're 100%. We're still going to attack on a few extra days, few extra games. Yeah. That is, to me, what seems like is the future of pro sports. I might be wrong on that.
No, I think it's already here, man. I think it's the current day sports. I mean,
right.
I don't even think it's the future. I'd like to know more on what happened here with McMillan and Trae Young, because Trae Young's, he's the face of that organization. But, you know, for McMillan to basically say bench or get out, and then for him to take the option and say, I'm out. That's crazy.
I told you before, Hayes, I had a torn labrum. And Peter Laviolette, a torn labrum. Every day, when are you back in the lineup? I'm like, Lavi, I got a torn labrum. He goes, yeah, I got a torn labrum too. I go, yeah, but you're the coach, Lavi. You move pucks around and write on a chalkboard. I got to go into the corner and run somebody over and try to get to the net and score a goal with a torn labrum. And you're telling me that you've got the same thing as me?
Yeah.
Like coaches are all over guys, man. When are you? he was.
But that's
that's 20 years ago, though. That's not
that's
the case
before
anymore.
He had the booger in his nose or his flying low, wasn't
it?
Every time I see him on, well, of course. What is the etiquette? If you run into somebody and they're talking
to them. You got to tell
something
them.
Something in the teeth, like booger.
It's
like,
tough, man.
I don't know. That's
really
tough,
awkward.
Man.
It's really awkward for everyone involved.
Everyone involved.
Except in the moment, the person who's actually dealing with the infraction, because they don't know any better.
Yeah.
You know, they're just going through life. They're not thinking twice about anything.
I don't know. It's tough.
It is. Raptors-Celtics tonight, and Bucks-Saints. We'll come back, tee those up, get to our best bets. Brought to you by FanDuel. We'll do that next. Legendary patients deserve a legendary hospital. Help us build the new SickKids by becoming a monthly donor today. Your donations will help build an expanded neonatal intensive care unit, new state-of-the-art operating suites, and deliver more care to more children in need. Go to tsn1050.ca to become a monthly donor now, and your donation will be triple matched every month for an entire year. Bucks Saints tonight. Tom Brady. Where does he rank for you guys as, like, must-see TV? It's still there during the regular season when he's losing and not playing so well?
It's pretty high still for me because it's Brady. You want to see. Like, for sure you have to check in. Like, I don't know if it's like a
The key right there. It's the check in, and then it's like, am I going to see the magic of 15 years ago? And if you see it, you keep it on. And if it's just – if it fizzles, you're like – I'll go back to my murder shows.
Take a peek, something else. Like, it just for me, you got it on, but he is and has been like must see for
forever,
years.
Man, forever. And you gotta watch what you wish for because he's not gonna be around forever. Yeah, I just think you look at like Mahomes and Burrow going at it yesterday, the way Hurts plays, the way Allen plays.
Yeah,
those are your guys right now. Tua's a fun player to watch. I didn't think he had a great day yesterday, but he's fun to watch. That offense is fun. You know, Herbert lost yesterday, but he's fun. Like, there's just these young quarterbacks have taken over the league.
Dude, it seems that that's all that Herbert does. It's like he looked great, but they lost.
They lose. Yeah, they lose. Exactly. That's why I don't think he's in the same category. Like, Mahomes and Allen, I think Burrow should be right there. I think Hurts has played himself right there. Like, that's your big four right now. Those are your four best quarterbacks right now. Rodgers has been great the last couple of years. This year, not so much. Although he beat Chicago again. They went 2-0 against the Bears
season. That's the lock of the century.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Like, legitimately the lock of the century. People in Chicago hate his guts.
Hate him. But they have to respect him, right? Because all he does is win. It's like in Buffalo with Belichick and Brady and the Pats for 20 years. You hate them all you want. They just then beat them. You got a problem with it, beat them.
Exactly.
And the Packers are having such a down year, and still they're 2-0 against the Bears. Bears can't beat them. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams in the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You guys are on the Bucks minus 3.5. I think you're on to something here tonight. I agree with that pick. I think the Bucks win and cover tonight. Al's brother with some tremendous information about Chris Godwin. I think it's worth a sprinkle on an anytime touchdown, paying plus 180 tonight for Chris Godwin. Tomorrow, Morocco won the group. Now, they're playing Spain. Spain's a powerhouse, but Spain's relatively young. Morocco's paying plus 350 to win. I think it's worth a little sprinkle. Like, Morocco, they beat up Belgium. They beat Canada. They tied Croatia. They're under the radar still because no one was paying attention to them. Everyone will be on Spain. You're getting a big plus money. I think it's worth a sprinkle. And I think the Habs at plus 1.5 tonight in Vancouver. You only got to pay a little bit of juice. I think they could beat the Canucks tonight. The way things are going in Vancouver, be a ton of Habs fans in that building. Give me a puck and a half on the Habs. A little bit of juice, I'll take that. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Raptors-Celtics tonight. Boston coming off a win in Brooklyn. Tatum and Brown, maybe the best duo in the league. How about your boy Street Clothes, though? We haven't mentioned him yet.
Yeah.
His numbers are outrageous.
Unreal.
He's getting MVP chatter because of how well he's been playing recently.
Well, he was always a good player. He just never played.
Never played.
Well,
the Lakers
he came back and played two games, and he was unreal. There's MVP chance
circulating. His numbers, look at his stats, man. He had himself a game over the weekend. They're 8-2 in the last 10. The Lakers are back in the hunt.
Yeah. Speaking of the Celtics, Hayes, Kendrick Perkins, who's my guy, I just love his tweets. He has this little thing on all the end of his tweets. It says, carry the hell on every single time.
Yep.
Like, he'll make a statement, and then he'll be like, carry the hell on. Anyway, he said he would be shocked if anyone could beat the Celtics. He does understand it's early in a 7-game series come the summer. He would be shocked if anybody could do it. That's how confident he is in the Boston Celtics.
They look good, man. They like the coaching turnover. That didn't affect them, clearly. They are defend. They were the best defensive team in the league last year. They're kind of doubling down on that. They've had some injuries. Hasn't mattered. Again, Tatum and Brown, two young homegrown players that have grown into who they are, put up big numbers. They're legit. Boston's very legit. It's hard to dispute that, but you know, we'll see where we're at. There's still a lot of season left, and the Raptors are in tough tonight, but they play well at home. They play very well at home. So I expect an effort out of the Raptors tonight. See if Jack sings to set a tone for his big karaoke night tomorrow.
That's true.
I think
are
it's
you
a
going?
Lock.
You guys both said you were going to the karaoke thing.
No, I couldn't get tickets. I saw an internal email today too, and there's a lot of I think it's all sold out. Wow. I don't even think I could get in there. I don't think I could crack that code if I wanted to.
Dude, do you not know the big league way? You send Jack a note and you say leave a couple at the tour.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Well, he's got bigger fish to fry. He doesn't need to deal with me and being a prima donna. Anyway, we're rooting for Jack. We'll see what he's got in store tonight with that game and the Monday Nighter. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.